It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Mein Kopf. Pink wie ein Deckelbus ist die kleine Farbe im Top. Geht mir kein Sach mit, die Tropfen.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I am your host, Judy Gold. And this week we have part two of my interview at the Provincetown Film Festival with Megan Stalter and Julio Torres. And I just want to say that I know there were some audio issues. So if it came out only out of only one speaker, that is because it was recorded live, and I don't know who recorded it, but, you know, it is what it is, and I hope it didn't bother you people and that you enjoyed it, and part two is really good, so I hope you enjoy it. If you hear an echo while I'm talking, it's because I am recording my intro and my outro from Montreal, Canada. I am at a friend's apartment, because I cannot deal with hotels anymore, although I do have a hotel room, which I do go to. But I have been at a friend's apartment, and it's such a different experience. Because let me tell you something about this Montreal Comedy Festival, which I will be ranting about next week. But it is the biggest comedy festival in the entire world, and comics from all over the world come. And producers and managers and agents, and it's just full of the comedy industry. And when you're in a hotel full of people you work with, and you get up in the morning and you want to go, you know, get a cup of coffee and just be alone, and you get in the elevator and there's like five people who you know, and you have to say hello to, not my thing. That is when I want to kill myself. So that is a kill me now, a major kill me now moment for me. So I am in a good headspace because I'm at my friend Paige and Tatiana upstairs apartment. And they're lovely people, and I love them. And they're very hospitable. And yeah, so that's what I'm doing. That's where I am. So it's been great. I'm going to talk about all my shows. I've been doing a bunch of shows. I feel old. I am old. And I have a bunch more shows to do this week. And then Sunday the 30th, I'm back in P-Town till the end of the summer, till September 3rd, and then again in October. So check it out, because if you are on the Cape or near the Cape or whatever, just come see me in Provincetown. It's the greatest. I'm there Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. Sundays and Tuesdays at 8:30. And then Thursdays at 7 at the Post Office Cafe and Cabaret. Okay, so that's out of the way. By the way, I drove to Montreal. And it is an amazing drive. It is a beautiful drive. Like the last 3 hours-ish are such a nice drive. You know, so you have to go through the customs area, but you're in your car, whatever it's called, the port of entry. And so I have global entry. So I thought, oh, I'm going to go in the express nexus lane. So I go up, and there's all these, you know, all the other lanes are completely, you know, million cars in the lanes, but I'm like, I got global entry. So I drive up to the nexus lane, and I give the guy my card, and he's like, no, you can't. No. And then I had to back up. Do you know how fucking embarrassing that is? That I had to back up out of that lane. All those cars like were like, in their car. I could see people like looking at me and laughing. And I just wanted to get out of the car and go, you know what? Fuck you. Fuck all of you. Like, you've never made a fucking mistake in your life. Okay. So I'm backing up. And of course it doesn't go straight. And then I have to go forward. And then I got to go back. And then I got to get in the lane. And I just fucking, you know, I'm in my car. So I'm a little bit shielded, but in my head, everyone was like in their car going, oh my God, look at that. She is such an idiot asshole. What a dumb bitch. That's what I thought. That is exactly what I thought, which is not normal, but am I normal? No. So that was my one mistake. And then the guy said to me, oh, but you can use it on the way out of Canada. And I was like, great. And then I was talking to Alonzo Bowden, another comedian here who's very funny and smart and is always on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and he's going to be on the podcast soon. Anyway, so he said, no, you can't. You have to have Nexus. You can't have global entry. What the fuck? How many fucking things do I need? I have my passport. I have my fucking passport card. I have my global entry. I have my TSA premenstrual. Like, I can't, how much more do I need? I just don't want to fucking wait online. You know what I mean? Everything's so fucking hard. So anyway, I'm going to talk about my drive back next week, and I'm sure that'll be fun and full of adventure. But I've got a lot more shows, and I have been posting a lot on Instagram. I'm here with Zarna Garg, who is like huge on the socials, and she is helping me and making videos. And, you know, I see how everyone gets these huge audiences and become really famous from the social media. But frankly, I'm 60 and I can't like constantly be making videos because I couldn't survive. So yeah, I know that that's what I should do or could do, but I'd rather read a book and be with my family and write jokes and play tennis. And so I'm giving up the fame and fortune. I'm giving up the fame and fortune for my mental health because I can't with the constant posting. But God bless all those people who post and then sell out huge theaters. Anyway, no, I'm fine. But so that's what's going on with me this week. I also want to say my phone thing is on. This guy, this murderer guy, Giglo, what is it? Killer. What the fuck? A mental case. Did you see the video? There's a video someone made at him and at his office talking about, you know, building shit, you know, building codes and stuff like that in New York. What a monster. And then the family's like, we had no idea and we hate him. Oh my God. How does this happen? How does this happen? So anyway, that guy grosses me out and I can't believe, well, I'm glad they found him, but just think about it. If your husband or wife was a serial killer, don't you think you'd figure it out? Don't you think you'd be like, okay, something's going on. Something's like, don't you go in the basement or the little weird areas of your house? Like, seriously. Whatever. Those kids will never have a life now because their father's a fucking asshole. Oh, God. What else? Marjorie Taylor Greene's a cunt. I can't believe Ron DeSantis and the educational system in Florida. Abhorrent. Okay. That they said that slaves learned, there was a good part of slavery, that they learned skills that helped them. Are you fucking crazy? Motherfuckers. But that's the United States of America. But right now I'm in Canada. So, you know, people are in a good mood. They're polite. They have health care. They don't have to worry about that. They're like nice to you when you walk down the street. But they do, like when you do walk in a store or something, and you say, they say, bonjour. And then I'm like, hi, I speak English. And then they're like, oh, you're a loser. Yeah. That's what it feels like, that they're like, oh, okay, whatever. But the food is really good here too. And, yeah, that's it. I don't know. I'll have much more to say next week, but, I really hope, you can overcome whatever sound issues there are and enjoy, because I really enjoyed the second part of this interview, and I think you will too. And, you know, they're funny and they're young and they give me hope for the future of comedy. And, go see Julio's movie, Problemista, because it's great. And Megan's also in a movie, Cora Bora, which is great. So, you know, but I didn't see Barbie yet, and I didn't see Oppenheimer yet, but I want to see both of them. I want to see both of them, and they're both Jewy, okay? They're both Jewy, because the woman who created Barbie, Jew, Oppenheimer, Jew, okay? So, all right, that's it for me for my opening right now. I don't know what I have to do. I have to go get a glass of water. But I hope, sit back, please, relax, and enjoy part two of my interview with Julio Torres and Megan Stalter.
Megan, I think you are the definition of an overnight success. Not that you didn't work hard, but your first time ever on a set was on Hacks.
Wait, is that true?
Yes.
That's crazy.
Well, how am I answering? Yes, it's true.
Well, is that like that, you know, we always make our own stuff, but that was my first, TV, real set. And it was, during COVID, so I didn't see anyone for weeks, and it's all way too many people, but it was really scary.
And the part was essentially written for you?
Well, you know, they had the character of being, who we want the set assistant, but I think, we talked about it, and, they definitely, when they were considering me, I mean, you know, my friend Pat Regan, sent me a screenshot of, in the script it said, I think Meg Stalter, you know, so it was, eventually they started thinking of me and started adding stuff for me, but I think there was always going to be a Kayla. If someone, you know, shot me in the head, they definitely would find her. And the people did audition, so, I mean, I was especially scared because it's, I would be a little embarrassed if someone's like, hey, I got that part. That was fake Megan Stalter, and then I still didn't have
a job. That happens.
That happens. Yeah. It's awful. It is so awful.
Yeah. It definitely was a possibility. It takes a lot of we're still coming to the rest of the cast, and so it's we still love her for the part, but you know, it is scary thinking someone's sort of writing for you, but kind of in your voice, but
it's harder though, yeah. Don't you think? I think it's more pressure when you go in, and be you, and it's I am.
Well, the tape I said, it's horrible. I found it recently, and it's really badly shot. It's blurry, and I don't have my hair brushed. I think it might have added to Kayla would audition,
right?
Maybe, and then me and Paul luckily met on a stand-up show and hit it off, so I think that helped.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say, it helps when the creators of the show are very in control of the show that they're making. And it's not just going to, a panel of executives judging up in the tape. But it's, people who are, because in Los Espookies, it's just we wrote for Francis and we just asked them to be in without the,
Well, see, Julio, you have said that people have less patience for nuance now than they did before. And you are the most nuanced person, performer I know. So where do you think that idea, you know, that people can't deal with controversy or nuance? Do you feel that that's in your art, or you're feeling that in your art?
There's sort of, because everything is so tense right now, and there's a lot of really scary things going on, and we have the ambient, the world is ending, so I feel that creates a panic response. truly superhero event, right?
Right.
Very, like, superhero American flag event. So I feel like people are, during moments of distress, feel like uncomfortable by like moral ambiguity.
Yeah.
Which is part of the reason why I really love the last time I saw Rotting in the Sun. Which is like, yeah, it's definitely not pandering.
Right.
It's definitely not a hashtag pride.
Yeah. You also said that comedians are now, and I really want your opinion on this, are now treating audiences as children.
Yeah.
I just never heard it put that way, and it is so exactly on point.
Yeah, I don't like, okay, so I wrote, you mentioned a children's book, right?
And yeah.
When I was writing it, I was like, okay, I have to be very deliberate about what the moral is here, because that is the whole point of a children's book, right? Like, you do want to bestow some kind of morality into the reader, but
I'm and
like,
just to say that it's about a plunger who wants to be a vase.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But when I see it happening with adults, that like it's like, why is everything like a little after school special?
Right.
About like, and at the end of the day, like, and then like every line is so manicured to make sure that it passes the morality test. In a way that I'm like, just, I don't know, like,
yeah.
it feels like. Again, like the polar opposite of what like the Rotting in the Sun is interested in, right? It's like, yeah, everything has to just like be so. I feel like it used to be that the phrase like sex sells was like a thing for a while, and everyone had to be sexy,
mm-hmm.
and then like being mean was a way of getting famous, and now it's like everyone has to be like, yeah, there's like this world peace.
Right.
Sort of.
And it's not reality.
Yeah.
It's not your characters are, I mean, they are so nuanced. Do you ever get people writing to you, like, completely misreading what you're doing?
Are you okay?
I mean, I've had handwritten, like, postcards sent to my house about how they hated my special, like,
no.
my set that they saw on YouTube. Like, I fully got someone that found my address and sent me a full letter about how I hated it because they thought I was being serious. And my thing is, like, I've always known that, like, okay, I'm not everyone's cup of tea, and I would rather, like, these people really get my thing and, like, connect to me than, like, have it, like, be a more, like, digestible comedian that, like, it, you know, I'm not, like, trying
don't
to
do
be,
it.
Like, Dane Cook. Well, no one likes him now. Well, but I mean, like, when Dane Cook was really huge, you know, he did
so
that
he's
arena.
The next wave award.
What?
He's also getting a next wave award.
I was like, wait, he's not here.
Ashley, Dane, do you want to,
he's in the back like, hey!
Yeah.
But, like,
okay!
When I was younger, I was like, Dane Cook is really hot, and like, remember that big special he did with the arena? Like, everyone loved him, and it's so like mainstream. And I never, ever, my goal was never to have that. Like, I've always just been like, I'm so in love with performing. Let me have the camera after my mom does her like, you know, eating disorder sketch. And like, I'm.
Oh,
always,
she's still doing the eating disorder.
Yeah, I'm like, go on. Like, I've always known that I'm not, like, I know that some people walk away and they're like, who's that crazy bitch? Like, or, oh, was she serious? I mean, I harass people in my shows and, like, not in a dangerous way, but, like, you know, I pick on people and I mean, and I'm, you know, also nice and flirty. Like, I...
Is that the tagline for the special? I am mean, but I am also nice and flirty.
That's a great name of a special.
Yeah.
And mean sometimes, nice and flirty. I harass him, but in a nice, cool way.
Nice, cool way, yeah.
I know my cup of tea, the line, yeah. The titles are so long. I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but I'd rather be this group. But, yeah, I've never, like, I just love doing comedy, and I just know that not everyone gets me, and some people have said, like, it's fun watching shows where, like, half people get you and they slowly get it.
Right.
You know, it's, like, part of the experience. I don't need everyone to walk away, like, understand. But
that is such a gift. I don't think you realize that that is such a gift. Because most comedians are like, you know, I know if one person isn't laughing, that's what I focus on. In the audience, the one miserable person. Everyone else could be hysterical, and there's one fucking Fabissina person, and I'm like, oh my God, and like all night, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? And I just love that.
I think
you have,
like, really strange, because I think I'm extremely nervous and confident at the same time, and I'm extremely want everyone to love me, but don't care what everyone thinks of me at the same time, and I don't really know how that worked out.
I love it.
Sorry,
I love it. No, but I love that.
But I don't know why, I don't know, like, how those things can be true, but they are for me all the time. Like, I feel like I'm the most nervous, confident person.
Yeah.
The most, like, I care what everyone's, I care so much about other people's feelings, and I'm extremely anxious, and I also at the same time, I'm like, I don't care if someone, like, doesn't like what I'm wearing or thinks, like, I should look a different way. Like, I don't care what they think and think.
I hate to quote my high school yearbook, but don't ever change. I'm not kidding. Because that is something the business could really fuck with your head in that way, you know? And I keep that dichotomy, because it's working, and it's brilliant, because you are vulnerable yet confident, and that's you know, caustic kind of vulnerability is the ticket, and you really don't.
Hey everyone, you know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV. Because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer, and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra, that has a little green tea in it, and so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And you know, it's getting warmer out, and what does that mean? Summer. Oh God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them. And they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
I have one question, and then I want you to just talk about making your films. My one question is, what are your thoughts? I mean, I know as someone who's been doing comedy for 40 fucking years, like, I'm worried about the future of comedy and censorship. And this idea that, you know, we can't say this word and we can't say, you know, and the fact that intent is never taken, you know, people don't, it's all that affected me this way, and that's all there is. And it's not. It's what's the artist's intent? So are either of you worried about the future of, you know, comedy? film and in TV and, you know, on stage?
I think some of it, I think I do worry about the future of comedy because I am, like, sort of, like, slowly waking up to that, but in a different way. Not so much the content that is made, but the sort of, like, the business side of it, the like, imagination side of it. Because it felt like when, like, doing comedy online was, and, like, YouTube, and, like, doing YouTube shit and all these things was, like, a way out of the monolith of like, an NBC, a CBS, an NBC, and all those things. And then it's, like, now we're coming to, like, oh, now all the streamers are sort of becoming, like, very, like, sanitized and very, like, network. And it doesn't feel like, little by little, it feels like they're more and more risk-averse. And it feels like, oh, yeah, it's like I'm watching this on Netflix, but it feels like it could have been, like, an ABC show. And so then it's like, so where are the next Julio's mix gonna go? Yeah, I don't know. Like, this whole, like, because now we're essentially all working for tech companies. So I do wonder what that'll mean for more nuanced, interesting work.
It is, like, really strange and interesting seeing, like, even, like, going to the movies, like people don't go to the movies as much, and, like, that's kind of strange, like, you know, especially for someone who's always wanted to be an actor and then, like, loved going to the movies, and then all of a sudden be like, oh, every time I go to the movies, there's, like, two people in the audience, and it's like, you know, we get news that, like, a lot, most movies we were making are going to the theaters, and, but I think, like, there's more, for me, there's more things to worry about. It's more of, like, I worry about people in general, and for comedy and art, I always go, we're always going to have amazing things, and we're always going to have bad things made, and, like, it's hard to get anything made, and it's always been that way, and I feel like it's all constantly evolving. It's like we didn't know what TikTok was, like, you know, we didn't have it, and then now all of a sudden we're all on it and making stuff for TikTok, like. But yeah, I mean, it definitely is, like, oversaturated, and, like, it is scary. But that's why coming to, like, film festivals and seeing, like, what people are making and scraping up the money to do, it's like, oh, my God, we're, like, people are so talented, and it's really inspiring.
Can you tell us a little about Bora Bora, and then will you tell us a little bit about Revolution?
Yeah, I mean, so Cora Bora is about sort of a bad musician who has gone through some traumatic stuff that I won't reveal, who's in an open relationship with someone who lives in Portland, and she's kind of struggling. She lives in L.A., and she basically goes to visit her girlfriend because she knows that she has, like, a new girlfriend. And so Cora is, like, this person who is kind of a brat and, like, she's bitchy, but, like, it's because she's so in so much pain and she just wants to be loved. And our director, Hannah, just is the most incredible person, and I fell in love with her. And she wrote me a beautiful letter and sent me the script, and I was like, this is just so special. It's very earnest, but also it's really funny, and I got to improv. And, oh, thank you.
That's so funny, and the songs are fucking hilarious. And you're so damn good.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me. Coming from you, I wasn't saying I was funny, but the script was funny.
But you were, you really.
No, you're very, very, very funny. Yeah. I saw it, like, 2 nights ago, and it's very, it's a cheap Cora mix audiences, I feel, go, like.
Yeah, fringy.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Honey. Yeah, just stop. And it's
you're
it's
so
the best
invested.
Of ways.
Yeah.
It's
you're
very,
so invested.
It's very Selma Blair. It's very, which is my favorite, like, lineage of comedic actresses. Very smiley face, the Greg Araki movie with Anna Paris. Yeah, it's, yeah. She's just so, like, oh, sweetie.
She's, like, very, she's, like, a mess, but she's saying, like, there's, she'll be like, oh, yeah, I guess we'll hang out if I'm bored. Like, she says this stuff, like, And yeah. It's all she wants is love, but she keeps messing it up. And it's incredibly, it's like the most innocent of diarrhea. But it's also very, like, mean and proud, too. But the script's amazing. There's so many amazing, like, queer women that work on it. We all just sort of walk around, like, holding hands all day. It was really, and I learned a little guitar play, but they didn't have to fix some of the guitar.
They, like, CGI somebody else's hands.
Being, like, amazing.
Julio, probably so, which your characters just, I mean, you just want to hug them. I mean, it's amazing. They're amazing.
Yeah, it's a semi-autobiographical, surrealist take on getting a work visa. Yeah.
And it's so damn good. And you know, you did work, right, for an artist. You tried to get your green card.
Yeah.
Wait.
It is based around...
John Heliker?
Yes. Yeah. It was based around the time that I was trying to get a work visa. I've had so many different kinds of visas, but when I was trying to get a work visa, maybe it would be a trilogy. And then I was like, why did he do tourist visa?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, he wanted to go to Disneyland? Tilda Swinton plays I really, really want, my dream is for Tilda's character in the movie to become the next Megan. By Megan, I mean the killer robot that the queer community embraced. You know what I mean? It's a queer icon, I guess. Yeah. Up there with
You want her to have memes and TikTok videos.
Yeah, she basically, Tilda's character is this completely unhinged art lady who has to freak out every time she can't remember a password. And she's just always carrying around four iPhone chargers and she's just always so.
And you can't even believe that's her in the film. You know?
I mean, Tilda is a shapeshifter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for your queer representation. Seriously, it's been a long road. To making these kinds of films where we are represented.
Wait, Meg is in the movie too.
Oh well, I was going to say movie is so incredibly special, and everyone was sobbing by the end, but it was so funny and special. But I will say my scene in it.
Is the best.
Remember when I was running late in New York to a film that day?
No.
I was running. Okay, good, because I always feel bad about it. Because I was really late because I couldn't find it. I was I think I went to the wrong address. But I have, some messy hair in the movie. Because they were luckily the messy hair came worked because I was running late.
Yeah, you had messy hair in your Hacks audition. You should not wash your hair again.
Yeah. It was a messy one, but it
was your tardiness did not... Come on.
Okay, good. It'd be so funny if you were mad at me the whole interview.
Yeah, I was just
she was late to the set.
I wonder if Judy's going to bring on so fucking late to set.
Hey everyone, did you know that Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States? And I'm one of them. You're listening to one of them. Fast Growing Trees has everything you could possibly want, like fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, house plants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and your space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. Forever. I just want you to know that I just got off a plane and I walked in my apartment. What was the first thing I did? I came in and said hi to Avi, my fig tree. I'm telling you, and I have Yael, which is another plant, but Fast Growing Trees has changed my atmosphere here in my apartment. You don't need a lot of space, but they do have, you know, they have stuff for outdoor spaces. But I live in an apartment, and I'm telling you, Avi and Yael, yes, they're both Jewish names, Hebrew. The space looks so much better. And I just had a conversation with Avi. Like, I was like, I missed you. I love having living things here. It's very, very, I don't know, it's made this more of a home. It's the best. And Elisa has some too. And she loves them. And she talks to them too. But she got that from me. Anyway, check out Fast Growing Trees. You need to be around plant life. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD, J-U-D-Y-G-O-L-D, at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. You're welcome.
Do you have any questions? Do you want to take questions from the audience? This could be scary, but yeah. Yes, right over here. From my experience, it's just funny, like, actors are kind of treated a little bit like children in a good way, like, in a spoiled way. Like, they'll be like, do you need an apple juice? You know, like, they're very, like, you know, oh, God, you're cold, and they're, like, chasing you with a big coat. So my experience, honestly, my experience is that they, it's, I'm like, I love it. No, that they really take, like, for me as an actor, I feel bad because people are always trying to bring me snacks, and I'm always like, I don't, you don't need to do that, but we just filmed the short, but it was so amazing and so fun, and someone was trying, kept holding my tea all day, and I kept being like, you don't need to, you don't, it's okay. Like, everyone is so, like, they were holding my tea for hours, and like, you really could just put it down, I swear, like, I don't want you to have to do that, but I guess for me, I haven't only been able to be hired.
I was on Margaret Cho's sitcom in 1994, All American Girl, and thank you. It was the most poorly written show in the history of network television. Anyway, but I'm gay, and everyone knew except Jody Long, who played the mother, didn't know. You know, we wasn't. You know, BB and I were not like broadcasting our gayness, and. I would mention my ex. I would say, oh, Sharon's coming to visit or something. And Jody Long would always be like, who's Sharon? Who's Sharon? And we ended up, that was her, that became her name, who's Sharon? So Sharon was named Who's for about 2 years. Because, yeah, we really had to sort of keep the gay thing quiet. And especially with the network, they never wanted that information out, you know? And we didn't, but we didn't have the intranet. So now they don't they sort of tell you what to...
Well, I was going to say, I can't even imagine what that would be like. I'm so sorry that it was like that, because it's like, if anything, now it almost feels like they're like, put on this rainbow scarf.
Yeah,
you know, they're like, slay the house down, queen, get in here, we're doing a promo video. It's like, they're like, yes, bisexual, and like, so it's almost like they're...
Like if you're not, yeah.
Which also doesn't always feel amazing to be like... you know, you, like, to have a company, of course, there's, like, all those videos making fun of corporations being, like, Pride Month, you know, them using us.
Yeah, yours are hilarious.
So, yeah, fancy. doesn't that feel kind of sunset? Not, I mean, it doesn't compare. I would take this and put on a big rainbow, like, costume and do a bunch of TikTok videos for them over not being able to acknowledge who I am.
Right.
You know what I mean? But but it is, like, they definitely get accepted.
That's why your representation is so important. And honesty.
The whole, like, representation conversation is, like, that's sort of, like, when we talk about the mainstream, because they're, you know, queer cinema has been a thing forever, right? It's like, but it's because you're, like, your Walker Wise, your John Waters, your Pedro Almodovar have been, like, doing it for so long that now the mainstream is like, oh, wait, what was going on over there? And now they're like, oh, okay. And then I feel like for a while, mainstream things, such as a sitcom, had to do so much heavy lifting in, like, explaining queerness to a broader
presenting it
in a very sanitized way and all these things. And, like, now I feel like we're getting to a point where, like, I have a movie where my character is gay among many other things, and that's, like, sort of, like, yeah, it's like this, I kiss a man for a split second in the trailer, which is, like, yeah, it's, you don't have to, like, be, like, and gay means.
Right, and we're just like you, you know? Okay, go ahead.
So, if they bring me 19, and there is infinite amount of money, and all of you on stage are already cast in this movie, as an indie darling, that can't be me. Who else would you cast? You could have 1 to 2 people each.
Say that again. It's the rainbow.
Who do you want to work with?
Okay. Thank you, Anne. Anne Hubble, head of
the
Providence.
We're making a movie. Who are we casting?
Who are we casting? Okay.
Well, I think first of all, that was a really amazing question, and I think that the first person I would cast would be Florence Pugh to play my lover, and there would be, and then the other person is Kristen Stewart, and they're both fighting over me.
I love that. Can I be the therapist or something? All right. Or the domestic officer, the officer that comes to the door to, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Hello, I am the officer that comes to the door.
What's going on here? Okay.
So in this movie, we already have a love triangle, and we already have a therapist or a social worker.
Well, I got more than a master's degree, okay? I can dispense medication. So
So maybe I would have as like living above you, maybe like Grace Jones lives above you. and she's like, what are these girls fighting about? And it's you. Who else? Maybe Angelica Houston is your partner.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Great.
Okay.
Who's writing this thing?
Oh, Leo?
I'll start a Google Doc.
Okay, thank you.
I love that question,
by the way. Thank you.
I think the title has to be the name of the building. My character?
Yeah, he's the police officer.
I'm the police?
Sorry.
Why am I a cop? No,
you could be the landlord.
I could.
Or the super.
Oh my god. This casting, you can be cop or landlord.
Alright, sorry.
What am I?
Yeah.
Landlord.
You could be the doorbell.
Yeah. That's a CBS show I've ever heard of.
Yeah.
Lord Cop.
All right. You know, I grew up in a different era. All right. One more?
Yeah, wait. Who would you cast? You didn't say.
Oh, I just thought I was just extra, as I've been my entire career.
You're casting too.
Who would I cast in my movie of... I need gays, right? They're probably all dead.
CG either. Like,
I mean, I've always had a little bit of a crush on Emma Thompson. When is she... So I would be in a relationship with her.
Another love triangle.
We could do that, yeah.
Or is it like The Hours, like three different eras?
Oh, I like that too.
Yeah, okay, great.
All right. Who's going to play the young me? Okay, thank you. Tatiana, okay, great.
Sydney Sweeney plays the young
me. Oh, yeah.
Are you saying that you, to clarify, you're saying you want to have insufferable confidence or you don't want to? That's, I was going to say, if you're saying it's a bad thing, I do think I have that disorder, insufferable confidence, which I think is so, I think it's really good. So I think you should, like, do whatever you can to keep it because it's so much more fun to have that than not. And I don't want to lose whatever disorder I have that gives me that. You know what? I think, like, I have enough. What has saved me is that I know that my family and friends and God is the only thing that matters, and myself and everyone being okay and loved, and that being famous and having money and all that, those things never have appealed to me. Like, I really think it's extremely dangerous to go after that stuff. And I think I have enough delusion that got me here where I'm like, if someone doesn't like my stand-up, like, they just don't get it. You know, when I started, I was really, really bad, but I actually thought I was really good. And I don't think that that was harmful to me. I actually think that was helpful to be able to live in Chicago and do whatever I wanted and think if I had a bad show that it's like... I actually think some of the funniest shows have been, like, no one's laughing except for, like, two of my best friends in the back. Like, it's so funny because they just don't get it. Like, it's just, like, we all... Comedy is so subjective. There's, you know, there's people that love Dane Cook stuff still.
Why are we bringing up Dane Cook? It's just bringing the level down here.
I would also say meet people that like doing similar things that you do and, like, start building a community, and because then you can go to the shows together. You can, like, because I feel like I really didn't hit a stride in comedy until I met, like, friends. And then it's, like, then you feel like you're a part of something as opposed to just, like, screaming into a void.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what I got from Chicago for class. Like, they thought the question was done, and then I started, and you guys were like, oh. No, like, meeting people, and, like, stand-ups, and that's when I felt like I got good, was when I met, like, my friends in comedy, and we wrote stuff together, and, like, it was encouraging to be like, okay, no, you, like, you're making me laugh so hard. Like, I was like, at first, okay, I'm really bad, but I think it's funny, and then when I had friends being like, we think you're funny, too. It helped me, like, actually know how to be funny on stage. I feel like I always felt funny, though, on stage. It's hard at first.
There's nothing like the bond comedians have with one another.
Thank you so much for listening to part two of my interview with Megan Stalter and Julio Torres. How great was that? At the Provincetown Film Festival, it was a lot of fun. Maybe you should take a trip next year and go to the festival. It's the Provincetown International Film Festival, by the way. But I hope it was okay and the audio was okay, and I love you for listening. Again, I am in Provincetown now from... Let's see. Well, I'm in Montreal right now for the rest of the week. I have two. If you're in the Montreal area and you are at the festival, I have a solo show. It's just Judy Gold. I'm looking it up as we speak. It is on the 26th and the 27th. That's this Wednesday and Thursday. And I am doing a live episode, a live taping of Kill Me Now at the Ovation Room at the Doubletree Hotel. But let me, wait, I'm going to look at my link and I'm going to tell you where I am. And you're going to have to wait because everything's about me on this podcast. Okay, so let's go to, I'm going to my, there's a little link and then I can click on it. So Wednesday, July 26th. 8:30. I'm at Salle Claude-Lévelle. I don't even know what the fuck that is, but it is the Rue Saint Catherine au Montreal, 175 Rue Saint Catherine. But it's at the Salle S-A-L-L-E Claude C-L-A-U-D-E dash Lévelle. L-E-V-E-I-L-L-E. I have no French in me whatsoever. That is on Wednesday, July 26th. And then at 7 o'clock, same place on Thursday, and Ophira, the great Ophira Eisenberg, is opening for me for my solo show. So, yeah. So I'm doing that. I'm doing Best of the Fest on Thursday. I'm doing a gala for for the festival. It's at on Friday, the 28th. But, you know, if you go to my website, judygold.com, if you go on my Instagram, I post. All right, Brittany posts. My schedule. And that reminds me that I forgot to say that my podcast, that Kill Me Now, is produced by Laura Vogel, is edited by Colin Schmeling, and is marketed and also, I would say, semi-produced also. She does everything by Brittany Jo Sowards. There we go. So, yeah, check it out. And to the woman at Beauty's restaurant, this Jewish restaurant in Montreal, who sat me at a table and told me she loves my podcast. I love you. Okay. I'm just telling you, I love you. And I love all of you because you're all still listening to the end. I fucking love you people. But we have a lot of great episodes coming up. You're going to be really shocked when you hear who my guests are. Plus I get to rant. And yeah, I'm still here, even though I make no money from this podcast, but I love it. And I love you. So thank you all for listening. And I just want to say Friday night is my father, Harold's Yahrzeit. It is 33 years since my father passed away, and he was such a great guy. So I'm thinking about him this week. I think about him every day. But I'm thinking about him this week. And yeah, so hold the people you love tight, okay? Because you never know, you goddamn son of a bitch. And I will, I'll talk to you next week and tell you how my trip out of Canada was. And as we always say, so long.